Good morning. We're happy to see all of you here.
We are going to have a very mini series, just two sermons this Sunday and next Sunday. And the series is entitled An Invitation to Greatness. This morning we're going to look at what are commonly referred to as the greatest commandments in Mark chapter 12. And next week we will look at, you guessed it, the Great Commission. Hear the gospel according to Mark, chapter 12, beginning at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating, that is, Jesus and the Pharisees and the scribes. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked Jesus, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second one is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these."
"Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one, and there is no other but Him. To love Him with all your heart and with all your understanding and with all your strength, to love your neighbor as yourself, is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. This is the word of the Lord. Let us say thanks be to God. As we begin the school year, there's always people start posting some fun stuff, getting ready for school. And this came across my inbox on my Facebook page, and it captured my imagination in a powerful way, and I wanted to share it with you because it feels to me like it might be really valuable for us this morning. And it's a posting by Julia Brown on her page, Food Fun, Food, Fitness, and Fun. And it was originally posted in September of 2018. And it is her description of the need box. Now, as you look at that box, that looks pretty straightforward, right? Pretty simple stuff. It's just a box with a hole in it. We've all made them. It's not a big deal. And yet, this is what she describes she did with this box. She says, "A few weeks ago, I posted about the need box I was starting in my class. I wanted to give everyone an update. If you recall, it was a way for my students to ask for help without having to come directly to me. They could write it on a card and leave it in the box. The first week, two boys let me know about a bullying situation. We got it taken care of. The next week, I changed the format a little and started having every student put a card in the box every day. They didn't have to write on it, but every student visits the box daily. Since then, I've had a plethora of needs submitted. They range from specific supply needs, seat changes, special handshakes when entering class, after school help, bullying situations, and even daily hugs. What's even better is students are starting to come to me directly with issues, challenges they are having by bypassing the box completely. I've been teaching middle school for 15 years, and I can honestly say this is the best thing I've ever done to reach my kids this early in the school year. Thank you to everyone who liked, commented on, and shared that original post. I hope many other teachers find it as successful as I have." I don't know, but there was something about this little post that just captured my imagination, and I hope it captures yours. That is to say, on the one hand, it is incredibly simple. Like, oh my gosh, it's so simple, I kick myself that I never thought of such a thing, right? And maybe you're a teacher, maybe you work with lots of people and you think to myself, yes, my gosh, who wouldn't think of that as such an easy thing to do? But it doesn't take very long before I start to think, boy, this is hard. That is, she even recognized that at first it was hard for the kids to to say yes to putting a need in the box. Only a couple of them had the courage to do that. And so she had to kind of modify that. And you can imagine, can't you, that something might come into that box that might be way beyond her capacity to feel like she can meet that need. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We have this sense that it's like, if I really put myself out there and offer myself to support the people in my life, they may ask for something I can't give. So in one sense, this box is really easy. In another sense, it's really, really hard. You follow? The same is true for this extraordinary conversation that Jesus has with this very earnest student. This person is truly of the Silicon Valley. This young man comes to Jesus and he says, look, I need you to bottom line this for me. I need some simple way to understand how all this works. I need it in a bullet point. I need it in a simple graphic. What exactly, if we're going to be faithful, if we're going to be the people we're supposed to be, how do we do this? What is the greatest commandment? And Jesus says, that's a great question. I won't give you one bullet point. I'm going to give you two. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. And what is so wonderfully simple about this commandment is that it is that these two things are inseparable from one another. That is, as we grow in our capacity to do one, we grow in our capacity to do the other. Now, 1 John puts this negatively, because apparently once the church is being established, this continues to be a struggle. So 1 John will say it this way: people who say they love God but keep hating others are liars. John is confronting that head on. But we can frame that more positively, can't we? What we can say is, the more you love God, the easier it can be to actually love other people. And the more that we love others, the more that we begin to see others with the eyes of Jesus, the more that we open our hearts and are able to be vulnerable with them and see them as being made in the image of God just like we are, the greater we fall in love with God who made them. Does that make sense to you? This is really, really simple. It is a beautiful dynamic. The more we love God, the more we grow in our capacity to love others. And the more we love others, the more we grow in our appreciation and honoring of loving God. And so that begins. And we think of this is really, really simple. This is really, really wonderful. Why in the world would Jesus make it a command? We don't like commands, do we? We like suggestions. We like invitations. So that's why we call this an invitation to the two great commandments. Because if I told you Jesus commands it, you're going to immediately start resisting that, right? In a sense, if it helps you, don't think of this as a command. Think of it as a pro tip. Pro tip: when driving, drive on the right side of the road. Also when driving, pro tip: don't run through red lights. Pro tip: when driving, don't watch TV. And now you can do that, right? So we don't think about the rules of the road as onerous laws. We think about them as, this is the best way to live behind the wheel and not die. And I can trust that if I do this and everybody else does this, we're all going to get home safely tonight. The rules of the road are rules. They're laws. They're commandments. And if you break them, you can go to jail. But let's not get all hung up with that. Let's just say, hey, this is the best way to live. This is the way to experience life at its best. And Jesus says, you can take all of the commandments, all 613 of them, and you can say, we can sum that up like this: love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. To do the greatest commandments is really, really simple. Can I get an amen? And doing the great commandments is really, really hard. We recognize, don't we, how it is that even at Jesus' time, these two extraordinarily simple commandments, The first one being referred to as the Shema. Shema means hear or listen up. Hey, Moses says in Deuteronomy 6:15, listen up. This is what God says. God is calling you to love God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Listen up. So they had this one law, this one commandment, and then they have Leviticus 19:18, which is to say, now look, we've got clarity about the love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Also, love your neighbor as yourself. Love them, treat them like you'd treat yourself. Think about them, think about their needs, think about what's going on for them, like you think about your own needs and what's going on for you. Love your neighbor as yourself. They had these two laws, and yet that wasn't enough. That wasn't enough. And so they began to add and expand and expand and expand until they got to 613. 613 commandments, which they were intended to follow at every appropriate opportunity, which was every day. And by that time, they had become so weighted down, and Jesus enters into a religious institution that is so complicated, so challenging, so difficult, that somebody has to come to him and say, I've been listening to you arguing with the Pharisees and the scribes. Help me out here. What's the bottom line? And I just want to say, as a Pharisee, looking at a room full of Pharisees, we know how to make this hard. Can I get an amen? Thank you. I knew I'd get you to play along. We know how to make these two commandments really, really hard for ourselves. We know how to immediately begin to ask the question, wait, if Jesus says that I'm supposed to love God with my all, how much is all? What does that look like exactly? What is the fullness? All is a lot, right? And maybe like me, you know how to overthink a thing to death. And maybe you, even hearing this Shema, this listen up, hey, here's a pro tip, maybe you also have an interior dialogue going where you're saying things to yourself like, this is so vague that I don't even know where to start. Or maybe this is the place where you recognize, I can't even imagine giving love when I feel like I am so hurting right now. I am in so much need myself. I feel like I don't have enough. And this call to give more to others, it feels like I'm just being called to pour out and pour out and pour out, and I'm feeling empty. Or maybe you're like, I would absolutely love to love God more and love people more, but I am stressed. I am so, Mike, the level, the commitments I have are demanding absolutely everything from me. And I, just hearing this, just hearing the word command on a Sunday morning, it feels like more, just another opportunity to feel guilty. Just another opportunity to feel bad. Or maybe you could just be honest enough to say, I'm shy. This idea, you know, when I hear this, it feels like I'm being called to express and do something that I'm not really, that's just who I am. I don't know how to do this. My ability, personally, to overthink and be self-critical and be perfectionistic is incredibly high. So maybe for you, this immediately feels like a moment when Jesus says, love God with your all, you go, well, I'm going to blow that. I'm already failing at that. I'm never going to get good at that. This is just one more thing that Jesus says in the Bible that's impossible, and he couldn't possibly have really meant it, because who in the world can do that, right? It is hard to interrupt that. It is hard to let that go. And then add on to that, that I'm now called to love my neighbor. And we know that Jesus doesn't mean just the person who's sitting next to you in the pew. We know he doesn't mean just, you know, the people that you like. He means everybody. And if ever there was a time in human history when
we as human beings know that somebody living on the other side of the world is in a very real way impacted by what we do, impacted by how we live, and that how they live and what they do impacts us. We now know that everybody on this planet is our neighbor. Amen? And that Jesus is now making a call that is absolutely expansive. The allness of this feels or can feel really hard. Love the Lord your God with all, and love your neighbor, whoever you encounter, love them as yourself with your all. The allness of that just feels so much. And so, which is it? Are these commandments simple or are they hard? The answer is yes. They say simple, they do hard, and we need to find a way to know where to begin. Where shall we begin? And I love what Jesus does is he actually begins at the beginning, doesn't he? He begins by saying the greatest commandment is love the Lord your God. And then we can imagine he's like, okay, yeah, it's the Shema. We all know that one. That totally makes sense. But then Jesus added, and the second one is just as important. That's what kind of makes it easy. Oh, how incredibly difficult is it to love the God we cannot see when we struggle to love the people that we can see? But God gives us the people we can see to learn how to love him better. Follow that? God gives us a way. That there must be something in our lives that we learn to love, and that we begin to connect that love to the greater love. And then we find ourselves on the way to all. So, how shall we begin? How shall we start with this? I want to say it comes back to the ask box. It comes back to this amazing little box. And I want you to think about this box metaphorically to begin with, because maybe you're going to actually do it literally. I don't know. I want you to think about putting the ask box out for God. Start here. Put the ask box. Say, God, what is it that you would like from me? How, God, can I show love to you? Imagine if God were to place a request in the ask box. What might you open up and find there? Maybe it's something as simple as, my ask, God says, is that you give to me 20 minutes of uninterrupted time a day. That you would just spend 20 minutes with me without your phone, without your screens, without the noise, without distraction. Just be with me for 20 minutes. Or maybe you're going to open that ask box and you're going to see, my ask of you, God says, is that when you're with the people of God, as hard as it may feel, as much as you're distracted, give your full attention to me for that time. Let the fullness of who you are, give the whole of yourself to this moment, just for a little bit. Put that ask box. I truly believe that God, like your neighbor, isn't asking for your all the time. But asking for all of you right now. Just right now. Be with me right now. And that as we grow in that, as we give ourselves to that on Sunday mornings, as we give ourselves to that by being in a small group, as we give ourselves to that by being in conversations with other believers and encouraging other with each other, hearing and sharing each other's stories about God and about God's greatness in our lives, as we make time in our life rhythm for that, I believe that that's how we grow. So my first, begin at the beginning, put out an ask box for God. And say, God, how is it you? How can I love you more? Just a little bit more. And a little bit more. What's the more I can give to you today? This summer, we kind of mixed it up, did some fun stuff. If you remember, we focused on gratitude. I dare say that the thing God desires from us more than anything is that we would pause and be grateful, to acknowledge the fullness of God's blessings and to respond to that with gratitude.
We talked about God's goodness. Just to meditate upon God's goodness on a regular basis. These are the ways we begin. That wherever we are in our loving God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that we go, that we give more of ourselves and more to that. And then out of that place, what would it mean for you to put the ask box out, either literally or metaphorically, to the people in your life? What would it mean for you to become more curious about what's going on in their lives and what they need, and be more open to responding to that need out of whatever you have? And what do you have? You have God's love, right? This isn't about you giving what from what you don't have. It's about giving out of what God has poured into you already. What would it look like for you to ask? What would it look for you to blow your kids' minds and simply look at them and say, what do you need from me right now? And watch them look at you, kind of like my bulldog does when I do something funny. That head tilt. What? What do you mean, what do I need from you? Yeah, what do you need? I guarantee you, when you start doing this, the first, very much like Julia Jones in our illustration, the box is probably going to be empty for a while. People don't know what to do with it. It gets hard. But as you continue to offer yourself and ask, they can trust it. Like, really, you mean it? Well, I don't know. And maybe it's something around, I really need help with a hard thing. Or maybe it's something like, I just need a daily hug. Or I need a special handshake every time I see you. Whatever that may be, that I believe that there are people in your life, coworkers, your spouse, your siblings, even if they live on some other part of the world, that you could put this box out for them and say, what do you need? How can I support you? How can I love you as I love myself? And then be surprised, right, when God brings new neighbors into our lives, new people who actually have no problem asking. And we'll say, oh, God's inviting me to love this person and to meet them because they asked. The box is out. I've got the box out there. I'm holding that out for the world. And let's see what gets put inside. The greatest commandments are simple. The greatest commandments are hard. But we do have a place to begin. Amen? It's out of these greatest commandments that we want to understand the Great Commission. And we'll talk about that next week. But for now, I want to give us just a couple moments of silence so that this word, this text, whatever I've said, and especially whatever the Holy Spirit has said to you out of what I've said. One of my favorite things in life is when people come up to me and say, your sermon really meant a lot to me when you said blank. And I said, I never said that. But the Holy Spirit did. I was talking about, you know, I was following my notes, but the Holy Spirit had something else for you. That's great. Let's honor, say yes to that. Say yes to what God's doing. So I want to give you a few moments to let the Holy Spirit say what only the Holy Spirit can say in response to this. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son who showed us what it looked like with every part of his being to love you with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. He shows us the way. Thank you for sending your Son who fully embodied what it meant to love our neighbors as ourselves. Holy Spirit, you come to us and you continue to teach us from the Word. You continue to show us how to live. We just want to be silent before you now. What are you placing in our ask box? Who comes to our minds when we think about our neighbor? Speak to us now, we pray.
maybe you heard the Lord speak something very clearly to you. And if so, praise God for that. Praise God that we can experience the God that closely, that intimately. Maybe you couldn't because your mind just was going. And that's okay too. God's grace meets us there. Maybe this is the beginning of a conversation that God wants to have with you for the rest of the week. That's okay. Either whether you heard a clear word from the Lord or haven't heard it yet, trust that God intends to speak to you through this word this morning, starting this morning and continuing on. What God began as a good work today, He's going to continue it. Amen. All God's people waiting upon God, say together, amen and amen. And now, friends, receive the benediction, the good word. May the grace and the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, and the love of God be yours, such that you may indeed know love and give love and see how much love changes all things. Go now in God's peace. Amen.